Chapter number 7. We are almost through with our series that we began some time back on the kingdom of God. We've talked about the citizens of the kingdom. We've talked about the character of the kingdom. We've talked about the conduct of the kingdom at some length. And this morning we're going to preach about the choices of or in the kingdom. And we're going to read some verses that are very familiar to all of us, I'm sure. And I want us to look at it and remember that what is being said here is within the confines and the context of what is known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now, politicians who are wishing to be elected to an office, if you will, issue a document that is known as their manifesto. And in that manifesto, they usually claim to have some new radical program that's going to make a difference in your life and mine. Now, we know where their promises usually end up. They usually end up in file 13, and very few of them are they ever able to keep, or sometimes I wonder, do they ever intend to keep? Amen. But the Sermon on the Mount, you must remember, is the manifesto or the radical program of Jesus Christ. And in it, He issues, if you will, His promises and His expectations with reference to what His desire is to do for His people. And so I want you to read two verses with me this morning in this context. Verses number 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7. There He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate," or narrow is that word, "and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so what Jesus is talking about here are choices that an individual can make with reference to the kingdom of God. Now, understand something, dear friend. Even though it may not appear in this world today that God is in control, I assure you, He's still the King. The reason that it does not appear that God is God, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords, is simply due to the fact that mankind as a majority failed to recognize Him as such. But I assure you that even the devil has to operate within the will, the confines of the will and the kingdom of God. Now, he's certainly not a member of it, but I want to tell you he's there. You don't believe that, then you just study Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus teaches there about the kingdom of God. And there He talks about tares, He talks about wheat, and He talks about leaven. He talks about many things that ought not fit into the kingdom of God, and are not a part, but they are an influence on the kingdom of God. And so, as we look at this, Jesus is talking now, remember, to the Pharisees, to the religious people of the day, and the common people of the day, who have been pushed into and drawn into following the religious teaching of the Pharisees of Jesus' time. I wanted to notice four things about these choices that Jesus mentions and then put them into application in our life. First of all, He talks about two decisions to be made about the kingdom of God. Two decisions to be made. The first decision to be made is about which gate you're going to go in at. He said that there were two gates, and so you're going to make one decision or the other. You're either going to decide to go into that straight gate, that tight gate, or you're going to decide to go through that wide gate. Now, there are two decisions that have to be made, and you're going to have to make a choice. Now, I want you to understand that when He talks about these decisions of choosing the straight gate or the wide gate, He's not saying you need to make a decision about whether you're going to go to heaven or go to hell. That's not what he's saying, even though we preach it that way quite often. Now, dear friend, I want you to understand something. Nobody in his right mind would ever choose to go to hell. Now, you think about it. I know that we got a lot of reprobates in this world that'll talk about selling ice water in hell and having a party and all of this kind of stuff. But son, that's just the talk of a fool and a reprobate. The Bible talks about that. Dear friend, I want you to understand that the majority of the people in this world think that if there's a God and there's a heaven, they're going there. Jesus is not talking about here in these two decisions of whether or not you're going to choose to go to heaven or go to hell. But what he's telling you to do is make a decision about how you're going to get there. That's what he's talking about. Huh? Amen. And so what he's saying here, and remember, he's talking to religious people and he's talking to the ordinary people, the common people, and he's saying there's some decisions with reference to the kingdom of God that I've been teaching you about here that you've got to make. And the first decision that you're going to have to make is this: how you plan on getting to the kingdom of God? And I could put it this way to you this morning. You want to go to heaven? I'm sure 100% vote would be, yes, preacher, I want to go to heaven. Then I could ask you the second question. Well, now, how do you intend to get there? Because there are many different ideas, concepts, philosophies, and theologies about how one to get to heaven. You know this morning that the alcoholic sitting on his bar stool in the saloon this morning thinks that he, when he dies, is going to go meet God. Well, you go to his funeral and you'll hear as much. Oh, he was a good old Joe. He's just a good old boy. And so that philosophy and theology would be that good old boys are all right with God and ready to meet God. There's not anybody, dear friend, today drinking that thinks that they're going to die and go to hell. They have convinced themselves that the church is full of hypocrites and a bunch of weaklings, and that he's much better than that. He's much stronger than that. He doesn't need the church house. That he's all right the way he is because he's compared himself to some hypocrite that he knew somewhere in life. And his religion now is, I'm better than that hypocrite, therefore I'm ready to go to heaven. That's his decision that he has made about going to heaven. Dear friend, the gate that he has chosen to go through is a wide gate. It's a wide gate. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. Now, dear friend, understand, Jesus was the best preacher there ever was because he could use things that people knew physically and teach spiritual truth from them. Now, in ancient cities, during Jesus' time, every city had a wall around it. Jerusalem had a wall around it. And you know how you got into a city? You got in through a gate. And most of them had many gates. Jerusalem had many gates. You remember that Lot sat at the gate in Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember the walls around Jericho. So this was something that the people listening to Jesus was very familiar about. What he's saying is this: you're going to get into a city, you're going to get in through one of the gates. And every city had some wide gates, and every city had some narrow gates. Now, he talks about two gates here, and I'm going to put a name over them. I'm going to call one the gate of religion, the other one the gate of redemption. Now, I want to tell you, just because somebody's not in the church house, that don't mean he don't have a religion. He does. The secular humanist has a religion. His worship is of man. He may worship the God of evolution, but dear friend, he's got a religion. And the gate of religion that Jesus is talking about here, that wide gate, is an accommodating gate. Lots of people can get through it at one time. In other words, simply put it, be this: a wide gate is easy to get through, isn't it? Now, I would call that a religious gate. You see, dear friend, it's not the question Jesus is saying whether or not you want to go to heaven. What he's saying is simply this: what do you think it's going to cost for you to get there? And what are you going to have to do to get to heaven? Well, now I want to tell you the religious concept of most people. I want to go to heaven, but I want to get there the easiest way that I can get there. Huh? That's the way of religion.
It's a wide gate. It's easy to get through, and it's accommodating. Amen?
And so, the tragedy is that in Jesus' day, well, we have presented the gospel in much the same way. We have stopped preaching that it was a narrow gate and a straight gate, and that it's easy to go to heaven. Now, dear friend, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'll deal with the opposite side in just a minute. But here's what I'm saying. We have stopped preaching the full Bible, and we have dealt with this message. If you will just believe, if you will just accept Jesus as your Savior, and if you will just pray this prayer, well, you're going to go to heaven. It's just that easy. Now, I'm going to tell you why we have preached it in such an easy way. Huh? Because we're trying to lure people through that gate. And if you tell somebody, dear friend, that the gate you've got to come through to go to heaven is anything but accommodating and attractive, they're not going to come through it. Amen. All you've got to do is read the message of the Old Testament prophets and even that of John the Baptist to find out that to be true. Amen. This religious gate is an accommodating gate, and it's an attractive gate. It draws many people to it. And so today, we have opened wide the gate, and we have taken the gospel, and we have removed the blood. We've removed the thorns. We've removed the cross. And we have made it attractive for people to come to church. Amen. Oh, we've got pretty buildings. We've got stained glass windows. We've got steeples on the top. We've got metal buildings. We've got brick buildings. We've got all kind of buildings made out of stone. Everything in the world. We've got entertainment. We've got music. We've got clubs. We've got organizations. We've got this and we've got that in order to make our church attractive. All you got to do is read the religious page in the paper, dear friend, to find people, churches advertising of what all they have. We have this, we have that, and we make it attractive to get somebody to come to church. Yeah. Let me tell you what that is. That's a wide gate of religion. Let me tell you why you ought to tell somebody you ought to come to church. Because, friend, you need to be saved. And if you are saved, ought not nobody have to beg you to get in the house of God if you realize you're saved. All this dressing up, party will lure people to us. All we're doing, dear friends, making people find an easy way to go to hell. But because they're looking for something to soothe their conscience, they'll join up with something. Amen. There's a gate of redemption. That's a straight gate. It was tight to get into. Narrow, if you will. It was a solitary gate. This is a solitary gate, Jesus says. You know what he said? I want you to look how he closed that in verse 14. He said, few there be that what? Find it. Now, what does that tell you? Friend, you don't find that little narrow gate that enters into that city by accident. Somebody went looking for it. You know what he says there? There's somebody is looking. You know the Bible in the Old Testament, the Lord invites people to look for him that is easy to be found because he's near. He does. He invites people to look for him because he's already found them to start with. Amen. That's why he is nearby. In order to find that little gate, it didn't come off a major highway or interstate. Amen. It was a little gate and you had to look for that thing to find it. It's a solitary gate. Dear friend, I want to tell you something. There's only one way. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. I want to tell you, there's a solitary gate that leads to God, and it's through Jesus. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Buddha. It's not through all the other religions of the world. He said, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's a solitary gate, and it's a sacrificial gate. It costs something to get in it. No, there's no ticket master standing at the door. You want me to tell you what it costs for you to go to heaven? It costs the blood of God's dear Son. Dear friend, I won't tell you what saved the people in Israel was the blood over the doorpost and the lintel. Friend, a gate that has no blood is not a gate of redemption. It won't get you to heaven. It's got to have the blood. There's only one way to get to heaven. Peter said it in his sermon on Pentecost, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a solitary gate. It's a sacrificial gate. I want to tell you, it costs the blood of God's dear Son for you to go through it. I want to tell you something. It's going to cost you something to go through it. We've forgotten that.
We've forgotten that.
I want to go to church, and I want to hear a lot of good singing, and I want to be entertained, and I want to feel good. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Now listen to what he says. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And listen, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus said, let a man take his cross and follow me. Amen. You know how you get in that straight gate? You get in through a cross. Amen. And you get in through bearing a cross. Praise God. I want to tell you something. If being saved hadn't cost you something, it makes me wonder if you got saved. I'm not trying to be judgmental. You've been saved very long, tried to serve God. Honey, it has cost you something. I got saved, it cost me every friend I had. As soon as I told them I got saved, invited them to church, and most of them came one time anyway, they stopped calling my house. Friend, I want to tell you, it may cost your mama or daddy to get saved. That's what Jesus is saying here. My friend, it might cost you your job. So the religious person says, I don't want to go through that gate. Because he says in his mind, I don't really think you've got to go that way. And so he not only talks about two decisions here, but he talks about two directions. For you see, once you went through a gate, you found a way. Jesus said beyond the straight gate was a narrow way or a road, and beyond the wide gate was a broad way or a broad road, if you will. And so once you entered the city, you made a choice about how you were going to travel around inside that city. You see, friend, whenever I got saved, when I entered in through the gate of Jesus, the gate of redemption, dear friend, that wasn't the end. I didn't step through the gate and step into glory into heaven. It didn't work that way. I got older. I got uglier. And sometimes you'd wonder, I got saved. Look at me. Amen. No, my friend, whenever I stepped through that gate, I just got into the kingdom. That's all. Now, once I'm inside the kingdom, Jesus is saying, you're going to have to make up your mind how you're going to get about in that kingdom. Are you going to go the narrow way, the straight way? Or are you going to go down the interstate, the way everybody else is going? That's what he's saying. There's two directions. First of all, there's the popular way. That wide way, that broad way, if you will. It's the social way because everybody's doing it. I mean, isn't that the way we are in this world? We're social people. And we, from the time that we're little, begin to look for what's popular. When I began to play rock and roll music and long hair was popular, I decided I'd let my hair grow because I tell you, when I did that, I drew a whole lot more girls than I did before I ever did that. You know why? It was popular. So what I did, when I looked around me and I saw what was going on, I saw what was popular at the time, said, hey, I'm going that way. There's a popular way. And you choose to go that way because everybody else is going that way. It's the Frank Sinatra way. He's saying, I did it my way. The broad way says, I don't have to listen to you, preacher. I don't need all of this or all of that. I can take care of myself. And I'm just as good before God as you are. And if you will, I'll just do things my way. That's the individual who will tell you, I don't have to be a member of a church to be saved. And you don't. But when you get saved, you ought to be a member of a church. Why? Because it's biblical. Because Jesus loved the church. Because Jesus died for the church. Do you need any more reasons? It's a popular way. Or it's a pilgrim way. Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 talks about those who saw the goal ahead, but they never got their hands on it.
And they come to the conclusion and realize that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. Sojourners, if you will. It's the individual that realizes, you know, I'm not going to be in this world forever. And so I'm not going to waste my time following the way of the world and its popularity. Now, dear friend, if you don't think I could fill this church up with just the right message and right, just the right program, you are dead wrong. I could do it. I could make us popular. Amen. I want to tell you something. The Bible declares there's a right way and there's a wrong way. That there's God's way and there's man's way. And this world, men are attracted to men's way, but they're not attracted to God's way until after they get saved and they come through that gate. Amen. So here's what Jesus is saying. You Pharisees, you religious people, have chosen a gate that you want to go through. And it's the popular gate of the day. Amen. You've made a choice. You have determined how you are going to get to heaven. Prepare to meet God, if you will. And how have they done that? Through religious activity? Through religious ceremony? Through religious attendance? And they thought that that was good enough to label them as righteous. And friend, it did before men. Because everybody of that day thought they were the most righteous people alive. But what they failed to realize was it did not make them righteous before God. They failed to realize that they couldn't be good enough for God. They had to come through the blood. And people today think they're good enough for God. They think that being a member of a church is going to make them go to heaven. They think that being baptized by being committed to certain programs and things is going to get them to heaven. And dear friend, it ain't going to do it. It's not going to do it. Paul, writing Titus, said that we were to look for the second coming of the Lord. And it talked about Him redeeming us. And it said that He had called us out to be His peculiar people. Now, dear friend, I want to tell you something. When you compare the peculiar way to the popular way, you're always going to have the minority in the peculiar way and the majority in the popular way. Isn't that true? Now, that's just the way that society goes. And that's the illustration that Jesus uses here, dear friend. If you got in the kingdom, now, it's going to make a difference how you decide to pursue the avenues in the kingdom, amen. How you going to choose to get about? You going to do what you want to do, or are you going to choose to do what God wants you to do? If you do, then you're going to have to go down a narrow way, and there ain't going to be a whole lot of folks are following you. And that's a choice and decision that you have to make. Then He talks about two divisions here. He talks about the majority, and then He talks about the minority. And what He's saying here is that the way that we have chosen to go in life is discernible by those that we have chosen to identify with. Now you look at it. He said there are many that go through a wide gate and go down a broad way. But He said there are few that go through a straight gate and go down a narrow way. Now anyway, in any language you look at that in, that's a minority versus a majority. And He says you can discern your place and position in the kingdom by those that you are identifying with. Amen. I want to tell you something very profound and very sad that this Bible teaches. The majority of human beings are not going to heaven. That's tragic. That's why we support people like Brother A.W. and Brother Harry and all these other missionaries that we send out to preach the gospel to people that don't know. Because, dear friend, the majority of people is going to hell. And I don't mean that sound ugly, but it's what the Word of God says. And we want to be with that majority, don't we, always? It identifies us. And so what we do, dear friend, is narrow that line that separates the peculiar and the popular, the minority from the majority, and blur those lines so you can't tell one from another in order to appear to be a success in the kingdom of God, in the church. There's two divisions, dear friend. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. Book of Deuteronomy, that same offer is made to the people of God. And so it is in the New Testament. Jesus said, you're going to be my disciple? He said, take up your cross and follow me. There are two divisions of people, dear friend. You're either in the minority or you're in the majority. And it don't matter what religion it is. And my friend, it don't matter what culture, what race it is. Friend, I want to tell you, that Broadway is going to lead you to destruction. Now, he said that there are two decisions to be made. There are two directions to be taken, and there's two divisions of people, but there are two destinies at the end. Now, I want you to see this. Please understand, or you'll miss the whole gist of what Jesus is saying here. People are not standing outside that city and saying, "All right, this narrow gate's going to lead me to life, and this broad gate's going to lead me to destruction." So you know what? Anybody in their right mind that wasn't completely insane would say, "Well, I'm going this way because I don't want destruction. I don't want loss. I want life." Isn't that right? That's not what the question is. They don't realize when they choose a gate. They don't realize when they choose a way that there's a destination, a destiny at the end of both of those. You see, the assumption is that they both come together in the same place. And Jesus said, that's not so. That's not so. That there's a way of life. There's a way that leads to loss. Huh? Amen. That's it. The problem is, both groups of people that entered in both gates and walking down both ways are under the assumption that they are both going to wind up at the same place. Have you ever heard the old expression, all roads lead to Rome? Well, we live in a day, dear friend, when a theology is being preached on the television by people saying, dear friend, that there are many roads to God. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus said the opposite was true. That there was only one way that led to Him, that narrow way. And so, if I choose as my path to God a Baptist church, well, that will do. No, it won't do. If I choose as my path to God a Methodist church, that will do. That will not do. If I choose as my path to God Islam, that will do. It will not do. If I choose as my path to God Buddhism, that'll just do. If I choose as my path to God charitable works and being a good citizen, that'll just do. It won't do. It'll wind you up in hell. We're going to preach about that in week after next. Many will say unto me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? Many religious works of casting out devils?" And He says, "I don't know who you are." Friend, the problem we have today is this world thinks that it's okay with God. And it thinks that, friend, whenever that judgment day comes, that, friend, they're going to enter into heaven the same as the saved people of God's going to enter in. But I tell you, on the authority of Jesus' word, it's not true. It is another work of the devil to blind their eyes and, dear friend, to consume their conscience so that they don't realize what they're doing. Do you know what the Bible says about Jesus? That He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Do you know? We know that Jesus was the Lamb of God in that sense, and He knew why He'd come. He'd come to go to Calvary. But the characteristic that we see of sheep in the Bible is that of ignorance. They are easily led astray. All we like sheep have gone astray, the Old Testament tells us, and the book of Romans tells us. And dear friend, you can take a sheep and you can lead that thing down a narrow passageway where he's fixing to have his head cut off or be shot between the eyes. He's fixing to be killed. And he'll walk down there just like he was going to pasture when he's being led to slaughter. Let me tell you something, friend. This world doesn't know that it's going to hell. This world doesn't believe that it's going to hell. And the only thing that will make a difference in them is for somebody to show them the way, to bring them to that straight gate and that narrow way and show them Jesus and say, that's the pathway that will lead you to a destination called heaven. And if you choose any other gate, if you choose any other way, then you'll open your eyes in hell as that rich man did. Luke chapter 16, there was a rich man fared sumptuously every day, clothed in purple. He was viewed as a royal person. And in the philosophical mind of the day, that if you were rich, it meant that you were rich because God had really blessed you. So no doubt he, in his own self-conceit and his own theology, if you will, thought, "Boy, God has blessed me. Surely I'm going to heaven." The Bible said the rich man died and was buried, and he opened his eyes in hell. Now, you say he chose to go to hell. Well, he did in a way. But in a way, he did not. In a way, he did not. And it's apparent by what he says after he gets there that he didn't intend to go there. He didn't say, y'all come get this cool ice water I brought with me. He didn't say, y'all come get a glass of iced tea, an ice cream cone, a nice cool ham sandwich, did he? He said, oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my five brothers, lest they come to this horrible place. Nobody intends to go to hell. They go there by making bad choices in life. Now, I know all about hyper-Calvinism. I know all about predestination and election. I care to know about. I do not believe that there are individuals elected, selected to go to heaven, and people elected and selected to go to hell without anything in the balance. I don't believe that at all, dear friend. I believe the Bible says, whosoever will. I believe the Bible says, choose you this day. I believe it gives us that option. We don't have the power to make the way, but we do have the power to choose the way, dear friend, so that God will be just, the Bible says, there will be no excuses. And so what I would ask you today is, have you made the right choices in life? You can make some bad choices in life and be a failure in life and recover from that. But friend, if you make a bad choice when it comes to God and eternity, it's a fatal choice that you will never have opportunity to recover from again. What Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you had better examine your doctrine. You had better examine your motives, your intents, and your way of life. And you better make sure that you've chosen the right gate and that you've chosen the right way through the city. Because if you haven't, you know where you're going to find yourself? Walking off that trail into the gates of Gehenna at the edge of the city. I ask you. Have you ever been saved? If you've ever been saved, friend, you made a decision. When somebody presented you with the gospel, you made a decision. You know what? I believe that. And I made a decision. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to give my heart and my life to Jesus. You did. I did. Didn't know all of that, but that's what happened. It did. Amen. Now, when you make that decision where you're sitting, the devil's going to come in and say, now listen, you know, listen, you need to be aware of some things before you embarrass yourself. In this church, you need to understand, you know, you've got plenty of time. Yeah, you need to be saved, but you know, you're not that old. You still got a few years left. You still got plenty of time to get saved. Or he's going to say, listen, that preacher's just ignorant. He is. He ain't got no theological degree. He ain't got no doctorate hanging behind him. He's not really all that bright, and he can't really speak right well. You don't have to pay attention to what he's saying there. And all of that is true. But I want to tell you what I read you this morning is true. So I ask you this morning, have you chosen to follow the Lord not only in salvation, but in sanctification and in participation in doing what God has called you to do? Friend, that's a decision I can't make for you. Mama can't make for you. No one can make for you. But I want to tell you something. It's very important because it's going to determine your eternal state. There are choices in the kingdom. We need to serve God. God's way. Let's stand together.